welcome to the 50th episode of the Infamous Podcast. Welcome to the grid. What's up, Johnny?
What's up?
All right, so this week we are closing out Disney Sci-Fi Month by talking about, I know it's one of my all-time favorites, and I know it's high on your list, Tron.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, we're going to kind of talk about the legacy of Tron, and Tron Legacy, and Tron Uprising, the cartoon, which I don't know how much of that you watched, but
I've seen the whole thing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We have some cool news bites. It was pretty confusing. We have some pretty cool news bites, some Starman news, Batman v Superman hits shelves, or digital shelves at least. Captain America's Hydra roots are already explained. And the new Star Trek movie, Universe Has a Name, which it's been out for, 7 years now?
2009?
Yeah, so they're just getting around to naming it.
Yeah, I know why.
And we'll talk about that. But first things first, and we're not going to get too deep into it because next week we're going to do all Game of Thrones all the time. How about that finale?
It's pretty awesome.
So, you actually said she'll blow up the Sept.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
As good as Battle of the Bastards was, this was just like the perfect complement to that episode. And I told you, and I tweeted it out at, like, right as soon as it ended, this episode was the equivalent of playing Risk with your friends. One of your friends gets pissed and throws the board against the wall, and you start from scratch.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was great. I think they did some pretty cool and different things from, like, what's happening in the books.
Yeah, at this point, it's deviated from the books, like, drastically.
No, there's some things that haven't happened yet that have happened in the books, but it's pretty drastically different. Like, Arya is going to fill the role of Lady Stoneheart, most likely.
Lady Stoneheart's out.
You know, the whole thing with Cersei Lannister, first of her name, is something that hasn't happened in the book because Tommen's not, had his demise.
You mean he didn't land on the King's Landing?
No, he didn't take King's Landing literally.
Yeah.
So. But, hey, if anything, this episode gave us a ton of great new memes.
Yeah, the one with the writer's room where there was the two writers sitting there from the writer's room episode.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have to do cuts for the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, you're welcome.
Yep. Well, did you see what George R.R. Martin tweeted today or the other
day?
Oh,
yeah. I'm
like, so you like Lady Mormont. Winky eye.
Like, dude, whatever. The show's deviated from your books at this point, and you can't even get them out on time.
Yeah. You know, there was talk that he was going to do 8 books.
Yeah.
Stretch it out to 8. And it's like, you can't even get... Yeah.
Anyway. He should just let the writers of the show take over the writing of the books.
Well, or do what... what's his name? Robert Ludlum? Is that his name? Who does the mystery novels?
Oh, is it John Patterson?
Or John Patterson, thank you.
Yeah, where he has the writer room where it's all the people that
he writes the outline and has people fill it in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, that's what the guys are doing. Benioff and Weiss are doing that for Martin by already writing this stuff. And then he's going, oh, well, I'll just use that.
Yeah.
At this point, he's probably ran out of ideas and he's just taking them from the show.
All right.
We were supposed to be talking about this.
Yeah. We'll talk way more about it. There's a lot we're leaving out. Okay. So first things first. They're going to remake Starman?
Yeah. Well.
You're
still waiting for that Flight of the Navigator remake.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I remember Starman. I don't remember it fondly. You know, it was, I think
I've watched it multiple times in the last few years.
Okay.
Because it shows up on Stars a lot.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
So I haven't watched it since I was a kid.
Okay.
So, and I think it was a little
this
over
is
my
one
head.
Where, yeah.
Like, I think now if
movie.
I went back and watched it, I would probably enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Which is something I think I'm going to do after, like, reading this article.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, though, enough of with the remakes. Like, does this movie
it never will stop?
Does this movie need to be remade?
Well, you know, like they say in the article, we got to throw in the more of the technology and more of the whatever.
Yeah, who cares? Does it need to be remade?
No.
Okay.
Well, no. No, it doesn't. Because in this day and age, Starman would not make any sense. Because an alien spaceship flying to Earth, you know, what is it, 30 years difference?
Yeah.
The tracking systems that we have now are 30 years different than they were then.
And we all walk around with 4K capable video recorders in our pocket. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I think some things like this where it's kind of better left, you know, dirty and gritty. I mean,
do you remember there was a TV series too?
Yeah, I remember the TV show. Okay.
So the TV series, I got it for Christmas and I've watched probably half of it.
Okay.
And legitimately, it makes no freaking sense whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Well, because this time when the alien comes back, that Jeff Bridges was the alien in the movie.
Right.
Has the son with Jenny Hayden by the end of the movie. Spoilers if you haven't seen this 30-year-old movie.
Damn it, Johnny.
Yeah, well.
Damn it.
So in the series, it's the son.
Okay.
He, like, gets into his step-parents or his adopted parents get in a car accident. He's got the orb that was left for him, and it protects him. But it sets off a, like, beacon, an emergency beacon, and his father comes back from the planet that he went.
Is it Jeff Bridges?
No. Oh. It's Robert Hayes.
Oh, okay. Well,
And he plays a photographer named Paul Forrester, who's like a womanizer and all this stuff. So, like, every episode they run into somebody that Paul Forrester was banging.
Nice.
And it's like he has no idea what's going on. So it only lasted a season. It was good. I mean, but it's still one of those things where it's like the 80s melodrama type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but yeah, it's weird that, you know, to think what they're going to do with it being the digital age, you know, that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we have. So,
like, that's why I don't really understand it. Anyway. We'll see. So, yeah, we will.
All right, I mean, it's so the guy who directed Night at the Museum.
Okay, well.
So, yeah.
Those were okay. I didn't
He directed the first one, and he directed... What else did he direct?
Which one had Rami Malek in it? Was it the last one?
Where he played Tut?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah, I liked that one. Because I like Rami Malek, but... Mr. Robot comes back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
If you guys have not watched...
Steel. He directed Real Steel.
I've seen that. Yeah, Anthony Mackie was in that movie.
Who is?
Anthony Mackie. Falcon.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I've only seen him once.
Real quick, Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's amazing.
First season on Amazon
Prime. It's all on Amazon Prime. Yeah. So go do your free month trial and just knock it out. This season of Mr. Robot will be 12 episodes rather than 10.
Okay.
The guy who has created the show and wrote and directed all of season one is writing and directing all of season two.
He did it all. So,
and will write and direct all of season three if it comes to pass. And he says this is the second act of a, you know, story. So, because I kind of felt like, I don't know, I really loved that show. And when the end of the first season, like, could have been the end, and I would have been fine with it.
Right.
So, I'm happy it's coming back, though.
Okay.
All right.
In this day and age, you got in it. Even though you probably will get picked up for a second season, you have to end.
Yeah, you got a plan for just ending. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so. I mean, a person of interest kind of did that throughout their years, because I think they were always on the bubble.
Yeah, it was a bubble show.
And then they finally ended it.
Yeah.
And, you know. Like, I watched that was pretty good.
Chuck, one season ended on a cliffhanger when it was on the bubble, and it was kind of...
Dude, man, do not ever end.
But it was them just saying, go ahead, NBC, cancel us. And see how many Subway sandwiches you get this year.
Yeah.
You know? And honestly, that's what saved Chuck, is the fact that people, like, Jericho, people sent, like, the candy bars or whatever.
Nuts,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that didn't do anything.
Right.
What saved Chuck was the fact that people started going into Subway every Monday and buying $5 footlongs to go watch Chuck.
Right.
That's what saved it, because Subway was like, oh, holy crap, we just seen a huge spike. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, NBC, keep this going. And then they got to do all the fun little stupid Subway footlong, $5 footlong jokes. But anyway... All right, so Batman vs. Superman is out with the extended cut or the ultimate cut, whatever you want to call it, the rated R or unrated version. It's not on shelves at stores yet.
Are they calling it unrated or rated R?
It's called the R-rated ultimate cut.
Oh, okay.
So I have not seen it yet. It's on, you can buy it on iTunes, Vudu, and Amazon. They put a bunch of the stuff back in. All of Jenna Malone's stuff is back in. Spoiler alert, she's not Barbara Gordon.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it this week.
Yeah.
And I'm curious is if this, because apparently there's much more context for Superman.
Hmm.
And some people have said it makes it better. Some people have said it's just putting lipstick on a turd.
A lot more. They don't care about me, Mom.
Mom.
Why should you care about them, son?
God, Martha Kent was a monster.
No, she was.
No, I'm kidding. No. Jonathan Kent was the monster.
No. No.
But no, so I don't know. It's out.
When you hide, you know, seriously, if you had a son who was from another planet, you knew he was from another planet, would you like just go on out there, son, fly over that city and show him? You know what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to bomb the hell out of your farm.
And they're going to try and get your kid and cut him up.
Lock him up and that. So, yeah.
I mean, like, I have a tiny little autonomous robot human being daughter who lives in my house. I don't go tell people about that.
You're more like small wonder here. So.
Kidbot 07 is not just a fan.
Yeah.
So I had her convinced that there were six predecessors.
Yeah.
And she's like, you get a new one every year? I was like, no, 3 through 6, like, that was like a 4-month span where they just did not work out.
They're all buried in the backyard.
So it's always funny to do that to her. But I don't know. I am going to watch it again.
You need to get her in a room and convince her there's 5 lights when there's only 4.
Funny. But all right, I don't know. You're going to buy it, right?
Probably. Depending on how much it's on sale for.
But if it's
more than $20, it's not going to be even worth it. I mean,
well, it'll be $20 at some point.
Yeah. Well, if it's more than $20 when it first comes out.
Oh yeah.
It's Black Friday. Wait till Black Friday deals when it's only $5 for a Blu-ray.
I mean, I'll watch it here in the next probably couple weeks.
Yeah.
Just I want to see if I was too harsh on it. I don't think I was.
You're too forgiving is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm more ruthless.
I rated it lower than you.
You did rate it lower than me, but the thing was is I just had fun making fun of it.
See, I didn't even enjoy that part.
No,
of it, though,
see,
so.
That was what it, that's what it was going in for.
I don't know, but like, so here's the thing though, is if this does turn out to be better than the original, like, do we all of a sudden have hope for Zack Snyder in the Justice League?
No.
Right? No. I mean, does that change anything? No. Does it change the fact that he still can't tell a coherent story?
Maybe the Watchmen will show up.
God.
That's the way the DC universe is running, so, you know.
Well, you know, we are coming up on our 1-year anniversary, and we're going to have we might have a Flashpoint happen, and we might reboot the entire
universe. Are you going to run back and save
Yeah, I'm going to run back I'm going to run back and save my mom.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
If anything, it'll be let's.
Oh, nice.
End it sooner.
Nice.
Anyway.
God.
All right. And then new this week is Captain America, Steve Rogers, #2.
Isn't it Steve Rogers, Captain America?
I think it's Steve Rogers. Is it? I don't know. But no, it's Captain America, Steve Rogers, because it's Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so there are. They answer the Hail Hydra thing right away. I thought they were totally going to drag this out and try and get people to buy more comic books.
They've got too many people pissed off.
And that's what we were talking about right before we started. So I'm going to ask you the question again, just for the record. Do you think they saw the reaction to that and changed the story?
Yeah.
So is this the Nick Spencer second issue script? Or is this the Nick Spencer second issue revised?
It's
going to
come out that he wrote 2 versions of #2.
Okay.
And they went with the version that wouldn't piss people off.
I don't know. Like, I haven't read it yet. I just know from the preview images that were on Comixology and on Marvel.com is the Cosmic Cube is involved.
Well, yeah, because it has to go. It goes back to Avenger standoff. And something happened there.
Okay, which so, I did not read yet.
I haven't read it. I got the Alpha and the Omega. I haven't read either one of them. But
that
I know that something happened because he's back to being young again. He's back to being,
super soldier.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Life model decoy. Anyway, I tell you what, though. I really enjoyed clone. That first book.
It's a clone.
A clone. Even right up to the end. Even when he hailed Hydra,
it was fast paced. Like
It was cool. When he tossed Jack Flag or whatever his name was out the you know Quinjet or whatever they were on.
Right,
that was pretty cool. So
hail Hydra.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been some like interesting like Shield stuff in the comics lately. I don't know if you read Civil War Changing Sides number one, the Nick Fury story.
No,
it's one worth checking out for sure. The other two stories in that book. Not worth anything, but the Nick Fury one was really good. So. Yeah,
I'm a comic book fan on a budget. So
yeah, exactly.
Stuff outside of the budget does not, and I mean, I may get a lot of books, but I more test out the waters of new stuff than I do pick up stuff like that. Because there'll be a trade paperback, and you know, what do you say?
Yep. Yeah. I don't know, like, Comixology will have it on sale at some point.
Right.
To just pick it up. All right. So then our last news bite is Star Trek's alternate movie timeline has an official name.
The Abramsverse now is the Kelvin timeline.
The Kelvin timeline, because of the Kelvin, which George Kirk was the captain of for 8 minutes and saved 800 minutes or saved 800 people. I dare you
saved 800 minutes?
Maybe, but I dare you to do better.
Is it like Madonna? He's only got 5 minutes to save the world?
Yep. It was like The Dark Knight Rises where he had 5 minutes to save Gotham, but it was 45 minutes of screen time.
Oh, yeah. So. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Do it. Do the voice. No, do the voice. Anyway.
I see you're here. Batman brought an army of cops. What will we ever do? And now they all know you're real.
So Johnny doing his Bane voice typically devolves our conversation into just spouting ridiculous lines from that movie.
I don't even remember any lines from that movie. You just
It's more Star fun Trek. To make them up, yeah. But
I should spout lines from Star Trek Nemesis.
In the Bane voice.
In the Bane voice. Oh, Captain Picard, I am your clone. It is as we always should have been. Us two together, dying.
Yeah. So was
that line could have been either one.
It could have been either one. All right, so did they really have to make a name for this? It was for some book, right?
Oh, it's for they're doing a new printing of the Star Trek Encyclopedia.
Okay.
So in the Star Trek Encyclopedia, it's literally like an encyclopedia.
Okay.
So you can go and reference like James Kirk and read his entire life history. And so in that, it'll have a like branch off that'll be the Kelvin timeline.
Okay.
And it'll tell the differences between the two timelines.
And so is Paramount just that pissed that he went to direct Star Wars that they can't call it the Abramsverse anymore?
Well, he still produces those movies.
I know. That's why I asked.
I think Paramount's just, you know, money hungry. They, you know, are.
I want to make a shirt that says the Kelvin timeline is not my timeline.
Oh, nice.
But I mean,
the regular universe they gave a name to right off the bat when that split happened, it's the Prime Universe.
Okay. And then there's the Optimus Mirror Universe. Optimus Prime Universe. The Enterprise transforms.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
That would be.
That's, Cybertron's that, part of the Federation.
IDW has the rights to this.
Surprised it hasn't been done.
They are doing Revolution.
I seriously have been surprised that they haven't done a Star Trek.
Team IDW, I know you listen to this.
Transformers crossover?
Transformers crossover with Star Trek. I'm surprised
they haven't done the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as the crew of the Enterprise that they did those action figures back in the day. Yeah. See?
I forgot about those.
Leonardo's Captain Kirk.
They can't do that stuff with the new guidelines in place for what you can and can't do with the Star Trek property.
Oh, nice. Everything's under the rule of CBS. television.
We only have about 10 more words to talk about it, and then we have to start paying royalties.
Damn it.
So we got to. All right, moving on. Anyway.
You're only allowed to talk about it for 15 minutes, and then you have to make it another 15 minutes later on.
But I was in that episode of Star Trek The Next Generation when I was a kid.
You're not allowed to be. You're not allowed to talk at all. Then that's
Spoiler: I was not in a Star Trek: The Next Generation episode as a kid.
I wasn't either, but I've got a picture with the crew.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
So, all right, shall we? Shall we head to the grid?
Sure.
All right. Now, we've talked about the other science fiction movies.
Master Control the
Please
whole
don't.
Time now?
It's been a long time since I've seen you, Brian.
It's been a week. Actually, I haven't even talked to you this week.
I've been busy, Brian.
All I can hear is...
Yeah.
The rotating.
Do you remember the game? The arcade game?
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was like my go-to game for a long time.
One of the Arcade Legacy had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were down there, when Black Daryl and I were down there.
You went to
the 16-bit.
Arcade Legacy, when I went there for somebody's birthday party at...
Is that still open?
It moved to another area.
Oh,
and good. And now it's got like a, I don't know, a hot dog bar or something.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going
and
Friday
then some
night.
Old man drove right through the front window.
Bastard. That old man should lose his driving privileges and all of his family members should be sterilized.
Oh, I thought we were going to put him on the grid and let him play the games.
Well, there you go. So 1982. So we kind of ditched the whole chronological order thing because we wanted to talk about this one last. But Tron
was
for
Flight
me.
Flight of the Navigator 1984.
86.
86.
Remember we talked about the Saturn Awards, then how that kid got nominated.
Yeah.
Like what? How bad were the kid actors? Right. And we looked it up and everything. Yeah. So 1982. I remember seeing this not in the theater but on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
That's
how most people seen it. It was not real successful in the theaters.
No, it only like Disney wrote it off as a loss. They took like a $17 million loss on it, even though it made money.
Right.
So, I think this is one that was a little bit ahead of its time for the story,
mm-hmm.
because at that point computers were still not new. I mean, they'd been around for 20 years, but
Home computers were just starting to show up.
We hadn't had that Macintosh commercial yet.
Right.
The whole idea of little people living inside your machine, you know, caring about their day type of a thing. I think people just did not understand the way that we do now.
This movie definitely had it like, I'm sure a lot of teenagers were going to see this movie multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't make money, but it was like one of those things where it's like you look at it and you go, yeah, if I would have known about this movie, because I was only seven.
I was five. Six,
yeah.
Four.
So I was seven when this movie came out and seen it like 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. And if I would have known about this movie, I would have been like, can we go see Tron?
Can we go see Tron? Well, I want to
And the way that I was exposed to this movie was not by the VHS.
Okay. Was it the Betamax?
Do you remember? Nice. No. Do Betamax. You remember like weekly reader books?
Oh, yeah.
That were through the school? You know, they would come out and sell books.
I think I had a Tron Choose Your Own Adventure book.
I had a Tron storybook.
Yeah. No, I had like books and stuff too.
Right.
I love it.
But
yeah.
The Tron storybook was like about the size of a trade paperback.
Okay.
And the cover was literally Tron and Yuri running toward you at an angle with the recognizers and the spikes, the light cycles chasing them.
And I think...
And it had pictures in it and everything. Yeah. So it had the story and it had the pictures.
Bringing up the light cycles, right?
Yeah.
That's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you take that out, it's still a good movie. I still nerd out over it.
Sure, yeah.
The light cycles, I want a light cycle. I want that. I want
right,
like, I want to go to the grid and I want to ride that goddamn
bike. You want to go to Shanghai Disney and ride it.
Yeah. I know they have that now. Did you watch the Goldbergs?
Just some episodes.
Just kind of when you're over here, we have it on. So there was an episode where he was like, you know, Adam films stuff.
Sure,
and
he
was Tron.
Okay.
And he made his bicycle into a light cycle with cardboard and everything. I'll show it to you when we're done. And he had George Segal dressed up in the, you know, the getup and everything.
Dumont.
Yeah. Well, no, he was actually, I think George Segal was Tron.
And, oh, nice. And he was Flynn.
He was Flynn. But yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, it received nominations for Best Costume Design, Best Sound. It received the Academy Award for Technical Achievement 14 years later. So, I mean, it's a cult film, but at the same time, it was a very misunderstood film. Which version of this do you own? I have the Blu-ray.
You do have the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched the special features?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like why I got the Blu-ray, because I had the DVD, and I got the Blu-ray and got rid of the
DVD. I had the DVD, the 20th anniversary DVD, which all the special features for that are on the Blu-ray. But on the Blu-ray, there's a documentary where it's literally a retrospective of Tron. And if Walt Disney would have been alive...
Yeah,
he would have okayed this movie because this was his type of movie. Like, you know, he was always trying to advance the company, and they literally were advancing the company by doing this movie.
The technology that went into it, never mind that it was a cool story.
Yeah,
Bruce Boxleitner,
like, who almost did not
should have been a much bigger he's a big star to us,
right?
You know, but he should be like everybody should talk about Bruce Boxleitner and how awesome he is,
right?
You know. I mean, yeah, he did what? Babylon 5?
Babylon 5, Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuffs.
Yeah.
With Christian Slater.
Yeah, he played his brother.
Yeah, he was the older brother. Yeah.
I mean, he did a lot of stuff. It's just one of those things where he never became what you would call a household name.
Yeah, and he should have.
Yeah, because he did a lot of the Gambler series, the Kenny Rogers like movie of the week, which doesn't happen anymore. No. But he did, like, I think... almost all of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a Tron lunchbox.
Sure.
With the Incom logo on it and everything. Yep. You know, I had the toys. What little toys that they made of it.
What was that? Mego, I think, the set.
I think that was the only, like bigger, like, doll type figure I had with the cloth clothes.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
But yeah. Anyway. It's just the story was cool. It had all these cool things. It had the MCP, which I think probably scared a lot of people from going near computers for a long time.
Well, it was the paranoia of I mean, the MCP was played up as what people were afraid of.
Right.
I mean, because people back then were afraid of what a computer was.
Yeah. And now we walk around with them in our pockets.
Well, right. Yeah.
That are way more MCP than they ever were back then.
Right.
So.
And that's the thing is, like, I think because of that reason that people were afraid of computers, that's why they did not go see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it got released on beta and VHS, you know, you just rent out whatever. People were renting out whatever, and it's one of those ones where, you know, it really picked up because of the VHS market.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was shot completely on 65mm, you know? So, I mean, that was groundbreaking for back then in 1981.
Yeah.
You know, you think if they're making Tron today, right? Let's just pretend like the story stays the same and everything. Do you know how beautiful that film is today?
Yeah, it's called Tron Legacy. Yeah.
We'll talk about that one in a few minutes, but yeah, it was so great. The music is good. Let's see here. It was released on July 9th, 1982. It grossed $4 million its opening weekend. Now, when you think about that, that was good for back then.
Yeah.
It went on to make $33 million in North America, but Disney saw it as a disappointment and it led to them writing off a good chunk of its $17 million budget.
Yeah.
They made that movie for $17 million.
Disney does that a lot though. It takes a lot of risk on stuff. I mean, look at John Carter.
John Carter was just marketed wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fantastic movie.
Well, this probably was marketed wrong too because nobody knew that much about computers.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're right.
You know,
I mean, you know, I think
if you go back and watch the trailers on it's like, woof.
The other problem with John Carter was Taylor Kitsch was he looked way too much like Tim Riggins, you know, with the hair and all that, and he had just come off that disappointing turn as Gambit.
Yeah.
Back to Tron. But no, I mean, it did well. Ebert gave it four stars out of four.
Who?
Roger Ebert.
I know.
What
about Sisko?
It doesn't say.
Oh, well.
I don't. Well, they weren't doing their thing in 1982.
I think they were.
I don't know. Yeah. Gene Skiss, Siskel Stalks, so nobody cares what he thinks. It was all about Roger Ebert.
A solid cast in this movie.
It was a really good cast.
Small cast, but solid. I mean, Jeff Bridges, obviously.
Well, they played multiple roles and everything.
Well, yeah. Flynn was Flynn, though.
Yeah.
Bruce Boxleitner played Alan. Yep. And
Tron.
Tron. And
what's his name played?
David Warner.
Dillinger and Sark. And yeah. Was the voice of the MCP, so.
Was that him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was uncredited, but yeah, he did the voice as well. Yeah, I think when you're looking at this movie, you have to just think about the cultural relevance that it has even today.
Yeah.
Right? I think more than ever, it's an important movie. I know I try and get the kid to watch it, and she has trouble with it, but I think she might be a little...
Too young?
Not too young. Like, that's part of it. She's a little young. She's on, eight. She's on the young side for it. But she deals
with computers in a different way than we did.
And, well, but she does the programming stuff.
Right.
So, like, I thought, like, she would like that. Now, Tron Legacy, on the other hand, she'll sit down and watch that with me and, you know, but it's more stylized.
Tron Legacy is more the popcorn movie.
So, do you want to just pop over to Tron Legacy?
Just okay. Go right into
so, it. You're absolutely right. It is the pop culture version. Like,
yeah, I mean, so it's
everything from
movie.
Daft Punk to, you know, Martin Sheen as the crazy Joker-esque, you know, Zeus.
Michael Sheen.
What'd I say?
Martin.
Yeah. Michael Sheen, who is awesome on Masters of Sex.
Michael Sheen?
Yeah. Michael Sheen.
Well, Michael Sheen, like, pretty much anything he's in, even this.
Like, he was good in Underworld.
Yeah.
The only other good part of Underworld is Kate Beckinsale squeezed into leather and latex.
Wow.
You know? Kate Beckinsale. You know there's
Tron
a Legacy. Fifth one of those coming out?
Tron Legacy.
I know. All right.
Stay on the grid.
Okay, so I rewatched Tron Legacy just the other night.
Okay.
I watched Tron the other night, too, but... Tron Legacy should have been more. Like, they had the structure there for something that was great. And I don't think they executed it well enough.
Okay.
And partly because I felt like they were trying to set up for a second movie instead of telling the story they had to tell.
There was too much, like, information being thrown at you at once.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, they tried to fill in 30 years of history.
Yeah, it would have been different if, like, they would have, you know, had some kind of flashback at the beginning that wasn't, you know, Flynn with his son, but, like, some kind of flashback that would have been on the grid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is the reason Tron is where Tron is, and, you know.
We kind of got that, but it was halfway through the movie.
Halfway through the movie.
Like, if the movie opens with Tron and Flynn, you know, joking around and doing their little thing, and then Clue pops up, and he's like, what am I here for?
Yeah.
And then that coup happens.
I don't
that's
think
a great way to
coup,
open that movie.
The coup I would have left where it was in the movie.
So, well,
but
it
I think
starts
it should
with
have
that.
It should have shown, like, you know, Flynn creating Clue.
Mm-hmm.
So because I think that threw people.
So Clue
when
was
Clue shows
in
up,
the first one.
Yeah.
So
Clue was his program that he like was kept creating the train.
And then he created you know the life version.
I think that. Because obviously the actors are older and they couldn't put them into body suits like that. That threw people off a little bit.
Yeah.
Flynn's suit kind of threw off everything.
Oh,
the robes. Yeah. Like he was some kind of priest or something. And it's like,
and I found that cool.
Yeah.
And you know, my only problem with Jeff Bridges in this one is there was too much Jeff Lebowski in that character.
Oh, well, now, see, Lebowski is Flynn. I mean,
I get it.
Because Flynn...
He's the hippie and everything, but it was still too... It just skewed too far that
too
way.
Much.
And I love The Big Lebowski. It's, you know, one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Right.
It was just, like, too much. And you know, the whole thing, he's like, I'm going to go knock on the sky and see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, that's the cool Flynn stuff.
Right.
But the far out, man, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, where's your digital bong?
Yeah, well, so that was what the whole universe was. Here's the things that there wasn't enough explanation of where Sam Flynn came from.
Yeah.
Like, who's his mom?
Yeah.
And that they cut out a lot of the stuff with Cindy Morgan. Like, mm-hmm. Cindy Morgan was supposed to be in it.
Right.
She was supposed to have been, like, I guess, separated from Alan. Like, mm-hmm. they had gotten married. And she was supposed to have played some kind of, like, U.S. government senator type. Okay. Where she was, like, in charge of digital.
Some governmental busybody. Like, computers. Busybody.
Like, yeah. Yeah, something with computers and that. So she was going to have a lot more to do with the story. I tell you what, like, this movie's good, but... If you have it on the Blu-ray, watch the Flynn Lives thing because yeah. it makes this movie Flynn a Lives lot thing. Better. Like,
yeah. Even if they would have opened with that, it would have been great, you know, because that was such a cool story and it was a really interesting way to bridge
right.
the 30 years.
Well, I mean, it had Dan Shore come
yeah.
back
yeah.
as his user
mm-hmm.
because he was Ram in the original.
Right.
And that, I mean, for that, and then to show, like, stuff that they were using at Comic-Con and
mm-hmm.
stuff they had, like, advertisement stuff was being used as part of the story
right.
of this. And then to have Garrett Hudlin at the end come into Incom and just open his shirt up and it's Flynn Lives
yeah.
and then it ends. And it's like, okay, that was cool. And it's like, that's the way that the movie should have ended.
Ended, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They should have literally, instead of
the cheesy sunset.
Yeah, the Quora thing. Yeah. And that. It's like they should have shown him riding with Quora
mm-hmm.
and then it should have like just like flashed and then done went into yeah. the Flynn Lives thing.
Okay.
And then they could have ran it like with the credits, I think, and that would have been like
that okay. would have been really cool. Yeah.
That would have been,
cuz he was Garrett Hedlund was great.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like I want to see more of him as Olivia Sam
Wilde
Flynn.
Was great. I had not ever seen her in anything
oh,
before.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So, so before that, I remembered her in a show called The Black Donnellys.
Okay.
And it was about an Irish family in Brooklyn.
Right. Kay Mulgrew was...
Kay Mulgrew was the mom. And, yeah. You know, what's his name? Peter Green, the bad guy from The Mask.
From...
Remember The Mask, the Jim Carrey movie?
Yeah.
The bad
yeah.
guy. Like, he was the bad one of the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, that show was... Oh, we'll talk about like shows that didn't get fair shakes at some okay. point. That's definitely one on them.
Yeah,
but
I've never seen her. In,
like, she was anything awesome
that I can remember.
And you know the whole thing about the ISOs,
yeah,
was interesting. But there was not enough about
not
it.
Enough
and,
about
and like
it, right?
You know, she's the only one. Well, why is she? You know, I mean, there was the whole purge
yeah.
and that kind of stuff. Like we got a brief like look at like what the purge looked like. But did the ISOs all live in those weird pods and? You know, like I said, like the structure of the story was there.
Right.
The execution was not.
Right.
The fact that Dillinger's son, played by Cillian Murphy.
That was another thing that got edited.
Got edited out. And you know, why wasn't, like, he should have been the one who was working with Clue.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
The whole
thing. I think it would have made it more interesting if they would have made it where he was working against Clue. Like, he was trying to bring the MCP back.
Yeah.
And Clue, yeah. you know, Clue had no clue that this was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You know, I think that like I said, a huge missed opportunity. They were waiting for a third movie.
Right.
And you tell the story.
Which you don't know if it's going to happen.
You
or
tell
not.
The story you have with the time you have.
Right.
Because this movie was not especially well received.
I think for me, I was fine with it. My only major complaint that I can remember after seeing it in the theater coming out was that they didn't do a good enough job on Clue.
Yeah.
Because it obviously is a digital clone of Jeff Bridges as a young man.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, they couldn't get the mouth right.
Yeah. I mean, that was looked my like
only
a
major complaint.
He looked like a cartoon character.
Right.
You know, which, again, I mean, this is 6 years ago. They right. do this movie today.
Yeah.
That technology is kind of down. But yeah, no, I 100% agree. I will say this, the design of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is superior. Like
I think if they would
have tone of the movie was
went
perfect
more with like the colors mm-hmm. using the color palette that they had from the original and not just white. Like there was too much white.
There was too much white.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that visually throws you off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know looking at a computer screen, white sometimes is not
no.
like, you know,
well, but that dark on the white,
the gold
yeah.
and the blue colors mm-hmm. would have made it more you would have had an idea of who was who.
Yeah.
Because the white kind of throws you off on certain characters, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my things that, like, you know, my complaints with this movie are all nitpicky complaints.
I mean, it rocked.
Because I enjoyed it.
It rocked at 51% on Rotten Tomatoes. But, you know, like, the first Tron was not mass market.
Right.
Like, it wasn't mass appeal. Unfortunately, they don't make cult movies for cult movie fans anymore.
Right.
You
right.
know, if it doesn't have that $30 million opening, or $30 million, if it doesn't
Disney,
have that $100 million.
Disney took a risk doing this movie, too. I mean, you know, it could have severely bombed.
And not long ago, we had heard that there was a third one in the works. And then a few days later, it was like, oh, no, that was a lie.
I think it's in the works. I mean, you know. Why would Disney invest on doing a ride in one of their parks if they weren't planning to do something with Tron?
Right.
You usually don't do that.
No, you're right.
And Disney especially, you know, knowing a lot about the Disney company at this point, usually they don't do something unless they're planning something.
You're right.
So, you know.
I mean, so the things that were great about this movie, the acting was awesome.
Yeah.
All the way around. Even though Jeff Bridges skewed a little to Lebowski for my liking.
You know,
he did a great job, and it was fun to watch him.
It was nice seeing Bruce Boxleitner come back.
And the whole thing with Tron as Rensler, like, who didn't like having the T on his chest?
Yeah,
was like, come on, it's Tron.
Well, I mean, it was obvious from the time he showed up that something had happened to Tron, and it was like, that dude's wearing Tron's clothes.
That's Tron. He's so just like, red now.
Yeah, and that was some kind of acrobat guy played him. I don't remember his name, but
whoever,
like,
he was
he was doing stuff that, like, they were just like, yeah, just go ahead.
Him and Ray Park should have like a parkour off.
Nice. Yeah.
So, but I liked it. For me, it's crazy rewatchable.
Oh yeah,
like, this is one where if I haven't watched it in a while, I'm like, oh, I need to watch Tron Legacy again.
Sure.
The original Tron, I don't necessarily do that with.
Really?
Even though I love the movie, like,
I
might
end up
watch it once a year.
And then watching the other.
Yeah.
Because this one, I watched Tron Legacy a few weeks ago and was like, I'll watch Tron now.
Yeah. But, all right. So then the last bit of the Tron Legacy, so to speak, was Tron Uprising. And,
well, you forgot Tron 2.0, which was a game.
Wow.
Well, yeah. You have to mention.
We haven't really talked about the game. I guess we should talk about the games, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the games are all part of it. Tron 2.0, I don't know much of the story, but it was kind of the same idea as Tron Legacy, where somebody else gets in on the grid and, you know, has to fight Woodhead taking the place of the Master Control.
Yeah.
There were some cool action figures that were put out, which I own a couple of them.
Right.
And that, but, I don't remember anything much about it. I mean, obviously you can look it up online and that, but yeah, it was, I think, Disney trying to test the waters.
Sure.
And see what they could do with Tron.
I mean, there were a lot of cool Tron games.
Yeah.
There was the Tron, you know, game. There was a light cycle game there.
There's the game that, cause she has a Wii and she bought me Battle Grids.
Oh, nice.
Where it literally, you can play different games, and that, and the light cycle game is very hard on that.
Disney Infinity has an awesome light cycle level on the 2.0.
Oh, okay. So, cool.
But
well, they did do Sam and Cora.
They did Sam and Cora. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But
you're saying Cora.
It's Cora.
Quara.
Well, it's spelled Cora. Yeah, but it's still Cora.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So Tron Uprising. You said it at the beginning when we started talking about this, the confusing Tron Uprising.
Well, the problem was that they didn't give a timeline.
Well, and it took place in between the two movies.
But they never made that.
And
like,
they didn't make that clear.
Right.
And that was a huge mistake because Tron was Tron.
Yeah.
He wasn't Rensler yet.
Right.
And so because of what happened at the end of the movie, it's like, oh, this is the resurrected
Right. That's the way it felt that it was.
The reprogrammed or deprogrammed.
But they kept talking about Clue throughout the show and
So you know, I will say this, the animation style, especially for Disney XD, was very different.
Oh, it was cool looking.
It was like that Aeon Flu
Aeon Flux.
From MTV's Liquid Television back in the day.
Yeah.
Elijah Wood was the main voice, yep. which was awesome.
Box Lightner played.
Yeah, and Box Lightner was Tron. I think one of the coolest things about it, though, was just how much it felt like Tron. You know, Elijah Wood as Beck.
Yeah.
Once he gets to the point where he's, you know, trained by Tron and becomes the Renegade. You know, it's a shame that that character didn't make it into the movie.
Right.
You know, Lance Hendrickson as General Tesler, as the bad guy.
Yeah.
Is always fun. Mandy Moore was Mara, who was like the female lead. But yeah. Oh, Emmanuel Tricuri, who was on Entourage and the voice of Chitara and Thundercats.
No, the best one's Paul Rubens played Pavel.
Yeah. Yeah. He was
tying back to Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, Paul
Rubens. That, I mean, they had
and Trisha Helfer was the voice of the grid.
A lot of big name guest cast on there.
I mean Clue.
Kate Mara, Aaron Paul.
Yeah. John Glover.
Marcy Gay Harden.
Yeah.
Lance Reddick. Olivia Wilde played Quara.
Yep. David Arquette.
Yeah.
And Fred Tatasciore? I don't know how you say that.
Oh, the voice actor?
Yeah. He's the definitive Bruce Banner. Yeah, Tatasciore. He's the definitive Banner in Hulk voice for me. But I there's nothing about this series that I didn't look forward to every week, you know.
And then it disappeared for a little while.
And it did. It went away, and then it kind of came back and
canceled.
Yeah, I mean, because it started in what, 2012. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like part of that though is like the Disney way of doing. You know, and I'm not even gonna put this on Disney because Nickelodeon does it, Cartoon Network does it. They do not advertise their shows well enough.
Yeah.
Things go away. They go on hiatus like, you know, like shows do. And they don't ever say, oh, hey, we'll be back on blah, blah, blah.
You know?
And then two months before the show comes out, you know, get ready for Tron Legacy. Get ready for Tron Uprising. You know, who is the Renegade? Things like that.
Right.
You know, they don't do that like they do with, you know, their stupid live action shows. Like, I don't care about Camp Ninja or whatever the hell that stuff is. I want to know about Rebels. I want to know about stuff like this. I want to know about, you know,
it's all about Girl Ultimate Meets Spider-Man. World.
Yeah. Oh God. Do you watch that? You
I watch have that. Watched that.
Yeah. But has Wolf Friedel been on it yet?
Everybody's been on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think the only one who hasn't shown up was the girl that Wolf Friedel and Matthew Lawrence were friends with.
Oh, Topanga?
No,
I'm kidding.
The redhead. I can't remember her name.
But
this show obviously was probably a little bit ahead of its time, too.
Yeah. I think this is one that would have done well by like Netflix standards.
Yeah.
You know, you put this out on Netflix and you watch it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. The music was awesome.
There was a lot of like different stories going on the show.
That, there were,
like, you know,
it had a lot of different things. Yeah. Like, you know, and again, maybe if this would have come out before,
yeah,
the movie, you know, to really, you know, get people hyped for the movie, and then you could have had some of these characters in it.
Yep.
But
this, there's not. It hasn't been on for a couple of years, so it's like one of those things where I remember it but I don't remember it that well.
I have some of the episodes, like we missed a couple, and so I ended up just buying them on iTunes, so you know, we have that. But yeah
it was on Netflix for like a year and then it was pulled. So
there's lots of Tron. I mean, like, that's the beauty of this. There if you want this, like, it's out there, you can find it, you can watch it, you should watch it.
Oh, I would definitely recommend the cartoon. I mean, it's a good story, and really you don't have to see either Tron to enjoy it.
That's the beauty of it. You don't have to see either of the movies to really get it. But yeah, I don't know. I can't, like, I'm just kind of a little bit of a lost words. Tron helped me stay interested in computers when I was young.
Yeah.
You know, Tron was, you know, as a little gamer guy. You know, trauma is one of those things where it's like, it's cool to, it's okay to do this. Like, you know, it opened a lot of doors for people to go and research and learn and, you know, try new things.
Yeah.
Especially in the, you know, unpopular, like, nerddom realm of computers.
Computer games. So,
well, not just the games, but, like, the building of and being around them and, you know, using them at a time where, you know, like, you look, like, I don't know. I look back to how I was as a kid and how into computers I was, right?
Right.
And not just into, like, using them and programming, but, like, building them. And,
right.
You know, like, my friend's dad taught me how to solder so I could make motherboards and, you know, all that fun stuff. But, like, this is one of those movies that helped me, like, be like, okay, this is a part of me that I can nurture and do and love and not just, you know, go play baseball or, you know, hang out in my house.
Right. What it had the combination of, you know, all the computer stuff and, you know, it's cool to play with computers.
Yeah.
But it still had that
the athleticism physical, of, because the bikes of the grid and the discs
and disc and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, there's a Frisbee champion out there somewhere that's saying this is because of Trump.
I still pick up a Frisbee and I'm like, you know, I turn and you wanted, like, to make throw that noise. It. Yeah. but yeah. All right.
So that's Disney Sci-Fi Month.
Disney Sci-Fi Month. And this is the end of our 50th episode.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Well, the end of your 50th episode.
It's your, like, 30...
I don't keep count.
9th or something like that.
Awesomeness cannot be counted.
No, it cannot be counted. So, anyway, we're going to try and do something cool in a couple weeks for our 1 year of Infamous Podcastum. It's gone really fast.
I may quit again.
You quit every week. At this point, they don't believe you.
End of line.
End of line. But yeah. All right, guys. You know the drill. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on Google Play. Whatever app you use to use your podcast, we're probably there. If we're not, email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. If you listen to us, say, on the computer or whatever, you can go to our website, infamouspodcast.com, and find all our cool older episodes. You can find some cool blog posts. You can find out more about me and Johnny. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Infamous Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You're on some of those as well.
Yep.
Actually, you're on all three of those, aren't you?
I think so.
Yeah. At Johnny Podorf.
Yeah.
You can find me, just go to most social networks. I'm at Brian Tudor on just about everything. So, yeah. Anything else?
I fight for the users.
All right. Well, on that note, Johnny fights for the users. And we will see you guys all next week.
You have to end it the right way.
What?
End of line.
End of line.